You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. This is where people who own, manage, and love senior horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules can come to share our passion and to learn more about caring for our senior equids. With this episode, we are in the second of a three-part podcast series on managing senior horses and herds with Dr. Nikki Jarvis and Dr. Pat Harris. Both of them are equine veterinarians with a tremendous amount of experience. I'm your host, Kim Brown. I'm the editorial director of My Senior Horse. We launched the global My Senior Horse brand in partnership with Linda Mars and Mars Horse Care in mid-2024. We offer many ways to get information on older equids, including this bi-weekly podcast, articles on myseniorhorse.com, videos, and so much more. Dr. Jarvis is head of veterinary care at Redlands Horse Sanctuary in Norfolk, England. She qualified from the Royal Veterinary College, London in 1990 and worked in mixed practice for 2 years before moving to Newmarket, where she completed a two-year internship at Rossdale's Equine Hospital. Dr. Jarvis then joined Red Wings Horse Sanctuary in Norfolk in 1996. She is now head of veterinary and care there, working with what she calls an incredible team of veterinary surgeons and nurses to care for more than 1,200 resident horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules. Dr. Jarvis obtained her RCVS Certificate of Advanced Veterinary Practice in Equine Medicine in 2012 and her Cert AVP in Equine Surgery Soft Tissue in 2013. She has a keen interest in equine nutrition, geriatric medicine, internal medicine, and colic. Dr. Harris is a past president of the British Equine Veterinary Association and a European specialist in veterinary and comparative nutrition. She is the equine nutrition and science advisor to Mars Horse Care and Waltham Equine Studies Group, Waltham Pet Care Science Institute. Dr. Harris has spent much of the last 30 years working to help improve the care and nutrition of older horses. She also is passionate about seniors because of her dedication to her own older horses. Dr. Harris has advised on the care of many senior equids and has authored numerous articles on their care. Her involvement in several global senior research teams gives her special insight into some of these studies. Dr. Harris is also on the Executive Advisory Council for My Senior Horse. Thank you for joining us again today, Drs. Jarvis and Harris.
Thank you so much for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here and thoroughly enjoying the company of both yourself and Pat today.
Yes, thanks, Kim, and thanks to My Senior Horse for putting these on. I think it's great to have this opportunity to share in a little bit more of a discussion format.
Well, in part one of this series, we talked about having senior horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules as part of a mixed age herd. And I've got to say, you've got to go back and listen to that. It is amazing. You can find the podcast on your favorite podcast network, or just look for My Senior Horse Podcast, or you can go to myseniorhorse.com, and we have all of our podcasts listed there, and there's a player right with the article that goes with this. But in part two of this series, I want to talk about nutritional management of senior horses in a herd. So, Dr. Jarvis, can you focus on the nutritional management aspects of having senior equids in a mixed herd? And that can include, you know, how do you feed them? Where do you feed them? What do you feed them? And actually the management. We talked about this a little in part one, but I really want to get into this because this is an issue to us that are trying to manage these seniors who have special needs.
Oh, indeed it is. And obviously it's a huge subject. So I'm going to dive in with a sort of opening chunk of it. And then I look forward to chatting with Pat and yourself. And I'm sure it will prompt all sorts of ideas in my mind of things that we also need to cover and mention. I think one of the important things I'd like to say, if obviously I'm not talking here about foals and rapidly growing youngsters, because their management, their feeding management does need to be quite specific. But it's important to remember that provided your older horse is a good, when I say good, I mean an ideal body condition score, provided that they are fit, healthy, and have got good dentition, their feeding is actually very similar to a younger adult horse. okay, notwithstanding, you know, completely different for the growing youngsters and foals. But yes, so it's important that we realise we need to be mindful of when changes start to occur. So just age on its own doesn't necessarily mean you're rocking in with all sorts of feeding changes. If that horse is healthy, great nutrition, lovely body condition score. So it's being mindful of when you need to make those changes. That's the first thing I'd say. So when it comes to feeding them as a group, again, we say this a lot in our podcast because it's true. It's about observation. So it's really important to keep looking at your horse. You're looking for subtle signs of changes. So what you're looking for example, is monitoring the body condition score, whatever scoring system you use. And if you don't know how to do body condition scoring, it's great to talk to your equine nutritionist, also your vet. And I'm quite sure that my senior horse has probably got some body condition scoring resources there.
Yes, we have some wonderful ones. A lot have been brought to us by Dr. Harris and some of her colleagues. So yes, we have a lot, but I agree, you know, yeah. Everyone's different. You know, the weight tapes, I find weight tapes on donkeys don't work real well, but that's okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, you didn't. You didn't at all. I just wanted to, I was fairly certain there'd be some excellent resources. So yeah, hopefully we can sort of signpost people towards those, because I think keeping an eye on those, because obviously, particularly with your older horse, actually it can be equally as harmful to be overweight as it can to be underweight. And it's important to say that keeping us close to the ideal is the way forward, because in your older horse, being overweight is not good, particularly if they've got osteoarthritis or conditions like insulin dysregulation. So that's equine metabolic syndrome and PPID. So there's all sorts of conditions whereby ideal body weight is paramount. So if you're monitoring to look at that, you also need to observe their feces, believe it or not, have a look at the droppings. You want to make sure that you're not suddenly finding you've got these long fiber particles where it almost looks like your hay is coming through undigested, because that's implying perhaps you've got a dental issue. Have a look, see when they're chewing their grass, their forage, are they dropping any from their mouth? Are they quidding? Is any balling up in their cheeks? And it is important to look, because if you're on a field with youngsters and your old horse is quidding, trust me, the youngsters are going to take advantage. They'll be like, oh, ready-made dinner. Don't mind if I do. So that's why observation is key with those areas. Make sure all of your horses have got regular dental work, but get the feedback from whoever your dental provider is. That's really important. So be it your vet or your qualified equine dental technician, get feedback. Is that horse becoming smooth mouthed? Are the diastema there, which are the cheeky little gaps between teeth that can lead to periodontal disease? You know, what's going on in that mouth? Is that mouth start, would that mouth start to struggle with forage? And I think also the medical history of the horses. Have you got horses that have already been diagnosed with laminitis, insulin dysregulation, PPID? What are those underlying conditions? Because they're all going to help you determine how best to feed that horse within a mixed horse group or just an older horse group. And then other things I'm thinking of is herd dynamics. So again, time spent seeing whether or not, are your older horses, are they definitely getting to the resources? Are they definitely getting into the hay rings? Or do you need to think of another way to support them? So those are the things that I do first before I would even try to think about how I'm going to feed them. You need to know what you've got, what's going on, what's the veterinary history, what's the dental history. And has that horse ever suffered with impaction colics or choke that may lead you to think that its teeth are starting to fail in how effective they are in sort of chewing forage? So once I've got all of that information, that makes it a lot easier. So it's important to repeat, though, that the fit, healthy, older horse with good nutrition, you can feed very similarly to a younger adult horse. So Are there any other points, Pat, that we ought to bring in before we then go on to the diet? Are there any other points that we ought to bring along? I think maybe to mention conditions such as osteoarthritis, they may prevent a horse from ambulating around the field as well, and may prevent, make it harder for the horse to access perhaps the forage or maybe the water tank at the opposite end of the field, or particularly in wet winter and muddy conditions. And then
I would agree. That's all right, Nikki. I would agree. I think if we stay at the monitoring, the other monitoring that we've now recently got is the muscle atrophy scoring system. And that is useful for vets and owners to look at, because when you're seeing these animals frequently, I think we don't always notice they're going or they're changing. Some of these older animals, their changes can be subtle, others can be quite rapid. So I believe that all owners, and whichever system you use a body condition score, just make sure you're using it consistently and whoever you're talking to knows which system. And I'm going to say this because it is very confusing. If someone says to me, this horse has a body condition score of 2, I tend to use the 1 to 9 and I go, my goodness, it's really, really low weight. But if you're using the scoring system up to 5, it's not so severe. So it's really subtle, but very important. So I think monitoring again, I would add in the muscle atrophy scoring system. I also would add a plea to everybody that they monitor their older horses and they take rugs off and they feel. The trouble is, in the winter, they have the long coats, especially if they're PPID, and they may look okay, but when you take them off and you feel, and they can lose muscle or put fat on. I agree with you, Nikki. The other way, they may be getting regional adiposity and you won't know unless you go and feel them. So I'm really keen on that. And the other thing you said, clinical history is really important. Because little things like if they suffer with equine asthma, and they're absolutely fine in the summer because they're out in the herds all the time, but then you're going to put a big bale of hay where they put their nose straight in, you might set them off. So it's knowing that. And I think this is why we're interested. And then, you know, knowing that an animal has some dental issues is important, because normally, for example, like for an obese horse, we might say feed more mature hay, and we might decide if the animal's suitable, go to our previous part 1, to put it in a group that are managed for weight management, but actually their teeth are not brilliant and you put them into mature hay, we're going to get some issues with chewing that we wouldn't necessarily have expected. So I think a lot of time of understanding what your horse has, but accept it will change. And I always say, if I'm successful in managing your horses and there we can continue, they will get older and therefore things will change. So it is that. And then we'll come to so I think this is a really good start before we even get to nutrition.
Well, thank you, Pat. Yeah, because it's such a big subject. That felt good to actually say, what's our starting point? So that's fantastic. And then for me, I find that a lot of horses, as Pat has mentioned, very often in the summer you won't see the problems because it takes quite a lot of dental, you know, disease or loss of teeth or the mouth becoming smooth mouth, loss of those beautiful enamel grinding surfaces. It takes an awful lot of that before a horse quits grass. So what you may find is you don't notice the problems at all during the summer, particularly if they're allowed access to grass, because they all look fabulous. And it's when you start to introduce the forage going into the sort of autumn winter that all of a sudden you know you've got a problem. And then we've mentioned some of the telltale signs that we look for, obviously quidding, but that's as things deteriorate further. But
and
I am
define that for some of our listeners who may be new to older horses. So what is quidding?
Yeah, so quidding is when they take their full of, they take a good bite of forage, they take it into their mouth, and normally wonderful enamel ridges on the upper and lower teeth. They grind together and they break the forage down into much smaller particles that the horse is able then to successfully swallow. But in the horse who's got failing dentition, so mate, their teeth are becoming worn, uneven, painful, what happens is basically that same ball of food goes round and round and round and round in the mouth. It gets nice, wet and soggy and full of saliva. It gets partially chewed, so ends up in the little twisted ball. But in the end, they kind of give up and it drops from their mouth because they don't swallow it. So that's what you'll see if quidding, or you may see the food sort of balling up in the cheeks a little bit. But if they do swallow it, that's when actually they can start to become at risk of esophageal choke or impaction colics. So that's why I did mention that being quite important in the veterinary history and just to be aware of. Or they do chew it to a certain length and it passes all the way through and you find these much longer fibre particles, you know, you can pull them out of the droppings. So you think, oh, no, that's not quite right. And in some of those horses, although I will add the caveat, this can occur in other disease conditions, you may find the horse passes a completely normal dropping, but it's accompanied by a gravy of jus that you'll find sticky liquid on the back legs or in the tail. They haven't got diarrhea, you know, the dropping's normal, but you get this liquid component. And that can happen in dental disease where they're not properly chewing. So,
yeah. And I'll just add, some people call them dollies because they come out little. So they are sometimes called dollies. And the other thing, Nikki mentioned that young horses may eat them. What I can tell you that horses with grazing muzzles love them because they learn they can put the hole over the quid and suck up this slightly. So you think you're restricting your grazing muzzle pony or horse, and actually they're just eating some beautifully well salivated. So I think, again, it goes to watching. And for me, I always want to watch these horses eat, spend the time actually watching them and spending enough time to check their swallowing and are they eating. And you're right, Nikki, sometimes they can swallow grass that's young, immature grass, providing it's okay for their insulin dysregulation and everything else, but they're fine. As soon as it becomes more mature and vegetative, they can't manage.
Oh, Pat, your story about the grazing muzzle has made me properly laugh. I bet you there's horses with grazing muzzles out there that are just now seeking that older horse companion with lousy teeth. They're like, that's what I need in my life right now. Yeah. That's a lovely story. So moving on to sort of thinking about how we're going to sort of address changes in feed. And again, I'd very much value working with Pat in talking through this, because as Pat knows, my favourite subject in the whole world is teeth. So one key area, like we said, in the older horse is changes in their dentition, and that dentition then starting to fail. And it's usually a gradual process, but in some cases of dental disease that cause a lot of pain, it can be a lot faster. So the first key thing is, if you think your horse has dental disease, get the mouth checked, because obviously it may be you don't need to change the feeding. You actually just need to cure the problem. Because what can be a huge temptation to do is, if you see your horse quidding, you go, oh, that's okay, I'm going to give it some extra feeds. But first of all, see, is it quidding because the mouth is generally wearing out, or is there a source of pain that in actual fact could be addressed and you could get better, which is the most important thing. Because chewing itself is actually quite healthy process, because obviously, as we all know, you can get sharp points on the edges of teeth that develop naturally over time because teeth are constantly sort of extruding down into the mouth and being worn away. So healthy chewing helps sort of give you slightly less uneven mouth, slightly less sharp points. So it's a really healthy thing to do. So if you notice weight loss and notice quidding, and just without getting the mouth checked, just go straight to a lot of extra feeds, you might actually be making the dental scenario worse. So it's really important to get it checked. But yeah, once you've ascertained, speaking to your vet or your dentist, what your horse can manage, if you've noticed this weight loss, is then look at what other ways can you provide that really valuable high fiber to your horse, because horses need high fiber. That's how their guts were designed, and those hind gut bacteria are crying out for lovely high fiber, and ideally as trickled into them as they would have if they were naturally going around eating their forage or foraging in the wild. So if they're starting to struggle with hays or haylages, then you can look to supplement with a high fiber replacer. And those come in a wide variety of forms. They can be like a cube form. They can be ones, pellets that are fed dry. They are mashes that could be, that have to be fed soaked. There's a wide variety. And there's some lovely commercial blends out there that are really easy to feed. Some of them have very short soaking times, which can be very convenient for our busy lives. And there are other pelleted ones that you can actually feed dry. So the horse still has to chew and work a little bit, which some horses actually quite enjoy because it makes their feed last longer. And again, it's quite a healthy thing to do, encourages saliva. So you'll have to be guided by your vet or your dentist as to how they're going to cope. And don't forget to, you know, take advice from equine nutritionists and veterinary surgeons as to what would be the best. But you're looking for high fibre, because as many of our horses age, what you don't want to do is be putting in excess sugars and starches, because many of them might be prone to laminitis. So yeah, that would be my top tip, is to start to introduce that for as long as they're still able to be around forage. Because if they can be around forage, it means they can stay in their friendship groups longer. At Red Wings, where we have this scenario, we have fields with corrals down the side of the field. So if a horse requires a fibre replacer to give them that extra boost, particularly during the winter months, they can come off, have their own feed in their separate corral, and then be after their feed, they can rejoin their friends and join in with the forage, which is lovely. But over the course of the years, that mouth could continue to deteriorate, and you may find yourself in a scenario where the horse is really struggling with that long fibre. It doesn't matter, it provided you've had the mouth checked. It doesn't matter if they reach a stage where they quid most of it, provided they keep the weight on and provided they don't suffer with things like impaction, colics and choke. Once you get to that stage, you are probably going to be better to try and move them over onto a complete high fibre replacer diet, because it may be they've reached the point where access to long forage could actually be very unsafe for them. So it's about constantly reviewing where they're at and where they need to be, and constantly reviewing how their teeth are getting on. But they are, like I say, so many of the products, we use many at the sanctuary, are absolutely wonderful. The horses love them. As much as you can space them out as possible, though, if you are doing these high fibre feeds, obviously, normally when they're out on a group, the forage may go out a couple of times a day and they've got hours to work on that forage, and it keeps them occupied, it keeps them busy. So if they're having purely a high fibre replacer diet, if they're only getting a certain number of feeds, you'll struggle to get the volume in. But also there are long times to standing with nothing to do in between. It's a little bit easier if they're still out at pasture, because they can try and have a little nibble of the grass. But particularly in the winter months, it's a long time. So the more you can divide those feeds up, and obviously that we've got a lot of people that are busy working people. So family, friends, other people on the yard, if they can do one of the feeds for you, because if you can divide it out as much as possible, you'll be doing a huge service to the horse and its mental state. So, I mean, that's me as an opening gambit for this very big subject.
Mars Equestrian, a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antech Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them.
Pat, where do you think we should go next?
Yes, I was just going to pick up on some comments, certainly about the soaked feeds. And this is from personal, as Nikki knows, I've managed to keep a couple of my horses for 15 years with no teeth and no ability to eat long hay. It does depend on the individual whether they will. And I love Nikki's introduction when they're still able, you know, things are happening, introduce them to things like soaked feeds, because that gets them going. And if they would tolerate that they can be out on grass for when they're not getting their feed that's giving them their nutrients. So they're out on grass, they're chewing, because when they chew, they're still producing saliva, they're still swallowing, which helps with their gastric health. So that is really good. They're also occupying, which is their psychological health. And then if you can give them as many feeds a day that is practical, but sometimes, you know, ideally we should be 4, 5, 6, but it's not always practical. If they will tolerate and they're out on grass and they can manage, you can get down. As I say, I managed my horse for 15 plus years with 3 times a day, where she was brought in for an hour. She would eat her feed and then went out to pasture so she could chew. But she was one that didn't ever try and swallow. So we never had choke. We never had an issue. So she's an individual. Also with soaking, I think we've got some articles on this as well, Kim, in My Senior Horse. But don't forget, if you are soaking, you need to keep it cool during the summer and avoid it freezing during the winter. So this is because some older horses, if they have any front teeth, they may have, they don't like very cold things. Plus, when it freezes, it's not good. So I think that's the soaking. I think the other thing is, Nikki was absolutely right, that for a lot of older horses, up to a point, they can manage on ordinary feeds. The only thing I would say is, whilst they don't have, if they're healthy, at least they don't have any change in their ability in the work that we've done in healthy animals, in their ability to absorb and utilize protein. If they've had some worm damage in the past, that is different. But also, they may do better if we provide them with slightly more protein. And definitely the quality of the protein is essential. You can't just, most older horses, certainly in the UK and many places, will need a balancer that contains quality amino acids. And you mentioned that, Nikki, they can manage on forage, but they need that quality amino acid. And I tend to just practically say that in an old horse that's in no work, I try and give them the amount of protein and the quality of protein of a horse in light work, if they're in light work. So I just go up. Same with vits and minerals. I just go to one level up. And it's just an easy way of thinking about it, that you just do that. And then the other thing Nikki says, she has so many good points to expand on, was as horses get older, they tend to become more insulin resistant, i.e. showing that insulin dysregulation. So even if they're not severely ID, they're not prone to laminitis, we still recommend that we do feed a restricted starch and sugar diet to most older horses. And then if they are, obviously they have ID, we're having to feed them a very restricted diet. So fiber is brilliant, absolutely the mainstay, but it's also thinking we don't want to overload them with starch and sugar. And we probably don't want very high WSC haze in these older horses because of that. So I think there are some basic little tips that we can do that are general. And then you've got to individualize it for that individual animal and its needs. But that's a starting point.
Thank you, Pat. That's really helpful. And I know that also, because obviously I've been privileged over the years to have met some of your gorgeous horses. And I've also seen photos, because Kim mentioned earlier about ways of feeding the older horse. And we've obviously touched on the fact that you can use corrals actually within a field. You can use corrals within a field where an older horse could come in for an extra feed, but then still be let out to enjoy forage with the rest of the group. But I know that from previously with some older horses that they often find comfort if they've got osteoarthritis, particularly within the forelimbs, the neck. They may sometimes find comfort if that feeder is raised up from the ground. And this can be done quite simply. You get fab little mangers with brackets that can just go over a fence line. You could just use some old tyres stacked up, can raise the bucket quite nicely for comfort. But I recall seeing a lovely setup, Pat. I don't know if this was you that had that older horses can be quite messy when they're eating, particularly if it's a soak feed and they haven't got many teeth. And you had, was it a lovely setup with a sort of a plastic sheet set down so that they clear up?
Two ones we did. When it was, they could eat, we could put it on the ground. But then my husband made a very simple one, Kim, but he used plastic just rails that you put as fencing, because he could just, they slot in, and he just made a little way for them to slot and supported them, because it was easy to clean, because they do spill and you don't want rats around your feeding area or mice. And so I had an area that I washed down, and the way he did it, it just slotted in between two bits of wood, and you could pull them out and you could wash all the rails as well. I could wash them down every day, but then periodically pull them out, clean them thoroughly and put them back in. Really simple. Well, I couldn't make it, but very simple to anybody who's got a slight carpentry. But the whole point of what we're saying is there are many ways to raise it up, but you want something you can clean, and you do need to make sure these areas, because you want to, you know, the food will be dropped, so it is important. I started off with just a plastic sheet on the ground, and that worked for a while, but then we needed for her health to raise it up. So really good practical things, and get friends to help, because, you know, I agree with that, and the horses usually enjoy it.
Well, this is one of those topics. I mean, they write books on this, and we're trying to cover just some tips for our listeners. So we thank you so much for giving these. And I know I always get something that I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do that. So I really appreciate it. Do you have any just final words on this nutrition-based tips for your older horses? Let's start with Dr. Jarvis.
Well, Pat can already predict what I'm going to say. It's all about the teeth. The teeth are the only thing that shorten that fibre particle length from the minute it enters their lips to the minute it comes out their blunt end. So if the teeth aren't working or failing, or very importantly, if the teeth are painful, address that, but then sit down and have that conversation. How do I need to adapt that feeding? And like I say, don't forget that can be a source of pain. And horses can't go up to you and go, my teeth really ache, I need to. So it will radically put them off their feed, as will so many veterinary conditions. But pain is a great reason that horses go off their feed, lose weight, and it can be missed quite easily, even with the best, most knowledgeable people around them.
Kim, just on that, I think if we're adding drugs, often in the older horses, you may be giving them drugs into their feed, and that palatability is such an important point to keep an eye on. And you might want to think about simple things, and individual horses like different things. Some would like more of a sweet flavour. Others actually like a curry. They might like a curry flavour. And I think it's, so I said about the soaked feeds, but also trying to make sure you make up the feeds right. You think about watching them. Are they actually eating it? And some older horses are remarkably stoical, And if they go to their food that they've always eaten and then they walk away, you do need to realize why. Is it because the food hasn't been stored or something, it's got hot? But again, personal experience, and I know Nikki's had a similar case, but mine had a bit of apple stuck in her throat, but she didn't show any signs of choke at all. It was only because I know that she's normally ravenous to eat and she would go, try and eat a bit, drop it out and then walk away, that I realized very quickly she'd had something and we scoped her and managed to sort it. So these older horses sometimes don't show the very classic cases of choke. So it is watching them, keeping an eye on them. And if they do anything unusual in their way they approach their feed, the way they eat their feed, or what they leave in their feed, don't ignore it. And that's why I like with my older horses often to feed them slightly separate, because you can see if they're changing. And it's not, it's how they approach, how they eat, what they leave, how they leave it is really important. And, you know, it's all about knowing your horse. And I suppose the only other thing for me is that I keep on saying it, they will change. Don't imagine they're always going to be the same. Their requirements will change. Monitoring, getting a vet, doing a health check as they get older on their teeth, their worming, respiratory, checking them over, doing an MOT, it is so important, because you can then adjust, and then working with an experienced nutritionist to get the right diet for your circumstances, given what you can find, what's available in your area, and then what's the best for your horse. And that's why we can only be general, because there will be specific reasons. Some horses just don't like certain things and others do. And you may not be able to find in your area. I did know one thing. Sorry, Nikki, I'll let you back. Sugar beet pulp, just a comment. It's a wonderful feed. It's a great, highly digestible fiber source. It's great to get water on board. It's brilliant. It can be soaked, throw away on molasses, so you can have a low sugar. One of the issues can be in horses that don't have teeth that you're trying to get food on board. It's a big volume. And actually, the amount of nutrients in a big bucket of sugar beet pulp isn't a lot. And owners think they're giving them a lot because it's a big bucket, but you're not. So we were talking about this in a webinar, veterinary webinar a few days ago, that actually they may be basically underfed through kindness, not because of deliberateness. So it's just be aware, sugar beet pulp is pro, and you know, there can be some cons about using it. So Nikki, I don't know if I've sparked anything more to you.
It's lovely to hear, because I think that volume is one of the most critical things, isn't it, Pat? And I know that sometimes when I've had a horse move over, and like I say, we don't do it lightly, but when a horse has moved over to a complete, what we call a no long fiber diet, so they're purely on forage replacers, if they do need a mash, that sometimes, you know, the sheer volumes can be quite big. And that is why the more feeds you can break it down to is so critical. We don't use a huge amount of sugar beet, but we do like it. We tend to find it works particularly well if we've got a poorly horse, because obviously that, yeah, they seem to like it. And Pat ages ago gave me quite a good tip. Obviously you can buy molasses and molasses sugar beet, but if you've got a very insulin dysregulated pony, was the top tip about soaking it, pouring away the water, and then if you need to soak again. So yeah, some really good tips I've had over the years using it. But yeah, we do tend to go for a commercial no long fiber products in general, only because we do have the advantage that some of them also have an oil content in them, which is quite good at producing, you know, providing energy, again, without heavy reliance on the sugars and starches for these insulin dysregulated older ponies.
Well, thank you both for joining us today and sharing your knowledge and experiences.
Thank you so much for having us. And we literally did talk the hind legs off a donkey, I think. Sorry about that.
Yes, thank you. And I think it's good to, if anyone's listening to this in isolation, please go back to the other ones because they do cover some tips around feeding the donkey, which you've just mentioned, Nikki, and the senior donkey as well. So I think it's quite good to make sure that, you know, they are separate and they combine together. So thank you, Kim.
Yes, absolutely. So if you missed part one, then make sure to go to myseniorhorse.com. At the very top, you'll see podcasts, and you can go listen to all of these in this three-part series. And we will be bringing you our next part, and I know you have enjoyed this as much as I have, so you can't wait. So, and we encourage our listeners to sign up for our newsletter that comes out every week, so you can be the first to get information that might remind you, oops, here comes the next podcast, so I need to get back there and listen to see what Dr. Jarvis and Dr. Harris had to say about this, because I've loved them. And if you have any comments or suggestions about senior horses, ponies, donkeys, or mules that you would like to have discussed on this podcast or delved into for the content of myseniorhorse.com, send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter, kbrown@equinenetwork.com. Thanks for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equids.